Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week, where every Saturday we discuss the biggest news stories of the week with Portland's noisiest newsmakers, savviest culturistas, and some of the best journalists in the game. I'm your host, Brianna Wheeler, and I want to hear from you. So send your questions and comments to me, bwheeler@wweek.com. All right, y'all, enjoy the show.
What are the barometers by which you measure the rehabilitation of a city after experiencing this level of collective trauma? Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, Portland has been cracking open and regrowing herself like some kind of mossy mollusk for at least the whole 17 years that I've lived here. Before the world closed down, Portland already had a reputation. And I get it. From the outside, it absolutely looks a mess. But from the inside, it looks much different. It's Saturday, September 24th, and this is episode 90 of The Dive. From the inside, Portland is roses in bloom, perfuming whole city blocks. It's pillowy gray clouds dragging ethereal white streaks across sapphire blue skies. It's infinite shades of evergreen. It's a party in every park as soon as the rain dries up. And it's hundreds of us watching sunsets together on Mount Tabor. From the outside, someone might think Portland looks like a dumpster on fire. I get it, but I don't live on the outside. And from the inside, this city is overflowing with potential. It's not bereft of people of color. Our cultures are thriving. It's not a hospitality desert. It's a community of labor sympathizers. It's not a swarming hive of violent activism. It's a home worth fighting for. Hotels can come and go. Offices can become obsolete. Structures, literal and figurative, can shift and break under the weight of changing values. But the ideal of Portland is forever. And even in the reconstruction phase, Portland belongs to all of us. And I think this is evidenced by my guest Rachel Saslow's reporting in this week's cover story, Is Portland Back? Rachel will join me in just a sec to unpack the barometers by which we might measure reconstruction efforts so far. But first, this is what I learned from this week's edition of Willamette Week. More lines are being drawn over charter reform. Local celebs Storm Large and Pink Martini's Thomas Lauderdale hosted an anti-reform fundraiser for the cleverly titled No campaign. The No campaign rallies around an as-yet-to-be-delivered alternative plan created by Commissioner Mingus Mapps to be delivered after the elections. Lauderdale says of charter reform, quote, inclusivity is a great goal, but not at the sake of functionality, end quote. Is it functioning now, though? Lucas Manfield reports more than 100 patients at the Oregon State Hospital, the state's locked psychiatric hospital, have been ordered to be released. Too many patients, not enough beds is the official reason, and for people charged with crimes, this can often mean waiting in jail for an opening, which in at least one case has led to death. State Representative Rob Noose referred to over $1 billion in mental health funding, but says it could take Multnomah County 2 years to catch up with the demand. Candidates Gone Wild is back this October 17th at Revolution Hall. Overripe tomatoes will not be provided to the audience, as far as I know. Now let's catch up with Rachel about her cover story, Is Portland Back?
But we are really looking at how actual Portlanders are living right now. So we just, you know, just really basic daily life types of things. Are we driving? Are we going out to eat? Are we going to shows? Are we going to the zoo, different things like that. So it was really just brainstorming a list of 10 ideal statistics, and then me just on the phone and emailing all these different places trying to make sure I get the numbers from them. So it was actually kind of a it was a different kind of reporting experience because it was so numbers heavy. Mm-hmm. And I was really feeling grateful that I took AP statistics in high school. I mean, who knew? Boy, did it come in handy this week. It seriously felt like I was in a high school AP statistics class. And I really was grateful for that because I learned in that class that, you know, based on how you present numbers, it's easy to intentionally or unintentionally manipulate them to prove a point. Mm-hmm. So just really, once I got the numbers, then really just making sure that I am presenting them in a truly neutral, fair way so that it wasn't skewing anything.
Yeah. Going through the numbers, that I thought that too. I was like, well, this could really fall on either side of, you know, a certain kind of opinion. Any of these numbers could be used exactly to strengthen a certain type of argument. So let's talk about barometer number one, car trips being up.
I had to call the Oregon Department of Transportation to get that number. But in other ways, I felt like I've been reporting that in my life for 2 years. You know, it just, yeah, that one, my lived experience was really helpful in kind of knowing what to expect and what numbers were accurate. Just little things like, you know, just how long is the line to get across the Ross Island Bridge at different times of day, mm-hmm, is something I've been feeling out personally,
yeah,
for many, many, many months. And it does feel like that line is pretty long now. And I can't just assume because it's the middle of the day that I can just breeze right across the river whenever I want to anymore. And the numbers really bore that out. It really is almost right at where we were in 2019.
Yeah.
So yes, we are definitely, the traffic is definitely there. Does it feel to you like, do you feel like traffic is back to normal before the pandemic or no?
This came up like a couple of podcasts ago, Portland shrinking, people are not moving in droves as they were like a couple of years ago. And I was like, well, the traffic is telling a different story. If right. Portland is getting smaller, why are there so many cars here? And max ridership is up, but not all the way up.
Yeah. So this is one where I wanted to be really careful with what numbers I was showing. So if you look at the graph, it shows that it is a pretty steady bar graph heading up. But I made sure to say in the intro to that one, like, yes, the ridership is going up at a steady clip since the pandemic began, but that's only at half of what it was before the pandemic. The month before the pandemic in February of 2020, there were 1.9 million TriMet rides. And
wow,
in this July, there were only 1 million. So, I mean, it is really, really, really diminished.
Barometer three.
Yes.
Restaurants are staffing up, but not completely. Is this where we lag? We're such a restaurant city.
I know. This one is crazy, though. So the rest of Oregon outside of Multnomah County, the number of bar and restaurant jobs is surging. Like, it's in a full rebound. They are replacing all of those jobs. In Portland, it's a completely different story. So really, in this graph, Portland's just really dragging down the rest of the state. it would be a very happy employment graph if not for Portland in this one.
Okay. Betsy Johnson's going to use that in her next campaign ad. Yeah. It's been fascinating to watch the evolution of the Portland restaurant through the pandemic. Blocked off streets, outdoor seating,
yep,
badass heaters to accommodate the outdoor seating.
Yep.
And this kind of goes hand in hand with barometer four, less reservations. I think I kind of get behind that. Like, it's not super fulfilling. It's not a really fulfilling restaurant experience when a place is short-staffed. Have you had a reservation experience lately? Are you a reservation?
You know, I was thinking, I haven't been eating out at places that are quite nice enough to need a reservation.
Me either.
So this one, I don't have a ton of lived experience with. The other day I met my dad for lunch and it was a really beautiful afternoon. And so all of the outdoor tables were packed. Mm. And then there was nobody inside. And sure, it was a beautiful day, but the inside of this restaurant's really nice too.
Yeah.
And so it did make me think, you know, people are just really, Portland is still just kind of slowly getting back into the higher risk COVID transmission scenarios. Eating is a huge one because you're close together, your mouths are open. I mean, I just think it's taking Portland a long time. And I don't know, I noticed it more when I travel, like when I go other places and you feel how chill it is around indoor dining. And you're totally. Portland feels really different.
Yeah.
So I think indoor dining is still one of those areas where it's just the comfort level is taking a long time to reach back, which sort of, I'm sorry to like destroy your probably excellent transitions, but it goes right into barometer number 5, where you're looking at, you know, concerts, which is, again, packed together. If you're me, you're singing loudly, you know. So another situation where it would be higher potential of COVID transmission.
Yeah. I traveled to Denver earlier this year, and I've lived in Portland a long time, and I didn't feel like we were skittish. I was like, this seems correct that we're taking time to refill places. This seems, let's do that. Let's take our time. And I went to Denver with that mindset, and I was like, whoa, they're not feeling the same way about this here. Every restaurant was packed. I went to a museum. The museum was packed, lines down the street. And before then I hadn't realized, I didn't have that like frame of reference for how other cities were dealing.
Yes.
But we were like, just eking our way back, taking our time.
Exactly. That's totally been my experience when I've traveled as well. Even within the state of, or perhaps especially within the state of Oregon. I don't know if you've gone on like any road trips, but yeah, just being out in different parts of the state feels so different than being in Multnomah County.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
People, barometer number 6, people are feeling more comfortable with outdoor attractions, which I totally get.
Totally. That was one of the first things that was one of my first like big in-person group outings with my kids when I was just, you know, so tired of parenting them in the house with no activities, resources, babysitters, etc. You remember? And so it's like, let's go to the zoo. It's mostly outside. We can wear masks. I mean, this is early in the pandemic, but it totally felt like a safe thing to do. And I think the numbers really show that Oregon Zoo admission is really, really high, like doing really well. Yeah. It's already at 80% of what it was before the pandemic, and they've had a really strong summer. So
yeah, people are they feel safer being outside. And so for barometer 7 reflects that completely because all of these festivals came back this year. I don't know if your reporting found out at all the attendance numbers for those festivals. Was anything at or near capacity? Did those numbers come up at all?
Unfortunately, was not able to chase down all of the attendance numbers for all of those. But I mean, I went to the Soapbox Derby. It was so fun. It just, you know, Portland just didn't feel like Portland, especially to me, without the Rose Festival. It was just wild all those years without it. Shamrock Run people love, like, you know. So I was happy to see all of these back. There was one event that was the Cinco de Mayo at the waterfront. Was canceled for the pandemic, then canceled in 2021, and still did not come back in 2022. So I think, you know, some of these are for, you know, the obvious pandemic reasons, like safety, disease transmission and things like that. And some of them are just, you know, these organizations are not the same anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
What was the wildest thing you learned when you were gathering all of this data?
I thought the TriMet stuff was really surprising. I just had no idea that we were at half of the ridership that we were at before the pandemic. And I would say the open table and restaurant reservations was pretty surprising. Like how far down our indoor dining is compared to how it was in 2019.
What was anything cut out of the story?
the stuff, some of the numbers that were interesting, but that got cut were people flying through PDX. Mm. I thought airport traffic was really interesting, but that's a little bit more tourist based because half the people at the airport live in Portland because they're coming home and the other half are here visiting basically. So we didn't end up using that one, but when I got those numbers, they were very strong. There was a lot of people going through the airport. And we cut out the part about hotels because that was tourists. Mm. Yeah. So mostly just the tourist numbers were all cut out, but it was fun to look at all of it. I looked at credit card spending. I looked at, you know, all kinds of different things I kind of like dabbled in while I was doing the research to try and find. But these were the best ones.
Big thanks to this week's guest, Rachel Saslow, and thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again next week. Until then, bye.